This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
I'm going to be speaking on restoration. How to restore time and season. And this is for those who've made serious mistakes in life. There is always a two-pronged solution to all problems. There will be a spiritual solution and a physical solution. God will tell Moses to do something, then Moses will then go do it physically. God will tell Jesus to do something, then Jesus will do it physically. So instructions will come as to the spiritual, instructions will also come as to the material. One of the mistakes many Christians used to make in the older days, I even know many who made it, who are still making it now, who don't have any job, but we'll be praying. They will be seeking a spiritual solution to a material problem. Somebody that is jobless will spend days and nights fasting and praying for financial breakthrough. And they would not calculate that if God is going to bless me, how then is he going to do it? I have no job. I remember when I was very poor. I'm going to speak to the Lord about how to turn my life around. I had a job. I was never lazy. The Lord gave me explicit instructions. Afterwards, the things to do, the things not to do. The channels of income I had that were not good, he told me to shut them down. The ones that I had that was good, but not for me, he told me, you resign this job. The one that would bless me said, this is what you should do. And then told me, open bank accounts in so-so places. And then I was able to know, okay, this is how the Lord wants to lead me. And that is personal to me. And I still work hard. Sometimes not sleeping all night, walking and praying. That is the key. The supernatural will be there to support, but God will not give you rain and also help you carry the buckets to fetch the rainwater. You will pray for rain, but you will use your hand to move the buckets out to get the rainwater. Can't pray for rain and expect that you open your mouth and the rain will just come and drop into it because you're thirsty. A lot of Nigerian Christians, they make that mistake. In fact, some of them, they will receive prophecy like this, direct from God. Prophecy like this. I know one that God told, I'm going to give you this. Like, direct. God said it, I'm going to give you this. God said to her, I'm going to give you a child. A child. I shall be barren for years. And you know what? She got the prophecy 2019. Along with other people that I know in the church I was attending at the time, who are also waiting to have children. I was the one that prayed for them. And I was the one the Lord gave a message. And the Lord said, I should tell this particular woman. He said, hold her by the hand. lead her out of the crusade. We're having a crusade. Say, hold her by the hand, lead her out of the crusade. When they get outside of the crowd, then bless her with children. And then walk back into the crusade. God knew why he said that. I did exactly what God said. Then people began to have children, twins, triplets, and this woman did not take it. Of course, at the point when it was up to 6, 7 months after that, I had to then call the husband. I said, "Ah, Dickie, come. I'm sorry, sir, but God does not lie. Something is not making sense to me here. Something is missing. Something is missing here. I see your wife come here every day, every Sunday, and I see that she's not pregnant. Why?" And then the husband laughed. Laughed. And I said, "I don't know what happened." The man said, "Oh, after you prayed for her, she went to see another pastor in the church, also about having children. And the pastor convinced her that she should sow the 2 plots of land I have somewhere in Lagos to his ministry." So she came home, took the property, the document for the property, and went to give it to the pastor. And when I heard it, I got angry. I was like, "No, why would you, without telling me, are you the only one? Both of us don't have children. We are both advanced in age. I've worked all my life to be somebody in society, to have some money to prepare for the coming of the children. And you are the one now just throwing away the properties because you are proving that you are desperate to have a child. You are just going to dash my 2 plots of land, one so amount to this pastor, wherever he is." And I said, "No, she should go to the pastor and collect back my deed. Or I will go to court. And I will spend so much money and make sure that that thing does not stand." And then he said, his wife got angry, went back to the pastor, collected the deed, and she moved out of their room. So he then said to me, "So how can she be pregnant?" She moved out of her matrimonial room. She's not sleeping in the guest room. So how can she be pregnant? And she did that for months. How can you pray for a child and move out of your husband's room? Even if you get the child at that time, how would you explain it to the husband that you had pregnancy by the spirit? Of course not. There are always two prongs how we solve issues. Today, we're talking restoration. If you've made mistakes, huge mistakes, and you want to trace your way back into destiny, how do you do it? One of the obvious examples that many of us don't see in the Bible is the story of the children of Israel. God gave Abraham a vision and gave him a land, which we all know as the Promised Land. That was their destination, where God was taking them to. But somewhere along the line, they found themselves threatened by famine, hunger, in the temporary place where they were staying. That was why they didn't build houses in the temporary place. Abraham used to live in tents because Abraham knew that there was no point putting down a permanent structure while on a journey. So the children of Israel usually will live in tents. They don't build houses. Throughout the book of Genesis, they didn't build houses. And then when they were threatened by famine, they normally would just pack up their tent and move. However, in the days of Joseph, they moved to Egypt. Joseph was the prime minister. He was going to give them land, and they are going to have in quote a sponsor that would make sure that nothing bad happens to them. Nobody would attack them, accuse them, fight them. They were going to have rest. But Egypt was not the destination. Egypt was a place of rest on a journey. When they got to Egypt, they got very comfortable. They built houses. In Goshen, they were not living in tents. They constructed buildings. They put down roots. For many of them, it became home. And they were happy there. No complaint. They began to grow. They began to have children. They began to multiply. They began to thrive. But they were thriving in the wrong location. Then the Pharaoh came, and the Pharaoh decided that they were a threat to his sovereignty, and he decided to convert them to slaves. This usually happens when you make a mistake in destiny. For every one of us here, this is a normal thing. When you make a mistake in destiny, sometimes immediately you make that mistake, you begin to suffer. At other times, you first enjoy a bit of peace. And then the storm will hit. The storm will hit so much that you will have to then go and pray and say, What did I do wrong? How did I go wrong? Then you'll be told, oh, you made a mistake. And you have to retrace your step. So for the children of Israel, when the storm will come, it was in form of a government policy. The policy then said that all Jews are supposed to work in the Pharaoh's labor camp without pay. That will be their payment for all the years they spent in Goshen eating free food and multiplying. Bible said they suffered so much, but they had no escape. They had no visible leader. They can't just walk away from Egypt. They couldn't. There was nothing that could save them. They couldn't do labor strike. They couldn't do NUPEN. They couldn't do NLC. They were under a totalitarian government. And as such, there was no way of escape for them. So what did God do? God chose one of them, not an outsider. God chose one of them, placed the destiny of the whole nation in the hand of Moses. And then God said, go and be their champion. Go and be their voice. Go and lead them out of Egypt. That example is unique, but you can see that when somebody makes a mistake and you're going in the wrong direction, if you are going to go back to destiny, you don't keep digging or doubling down in the wrong direction. You have to go back to your path. Restoration means going back. Please note it. Restoration means restoring something to its original state, which means reversing time, reversing seasons, reversing wear and tear, and going back. Don't forget, a lot of Christians, they make the mistake of being in the wrong place, knowing that they are in the wrong place, and then praying that God should make that place better. A lot of Christians, the logic beats me. It's like you are supposed to go to Abuja and you find yourself in Port Harcourt. You now begin to pray, Father, let Port Harcourt work for me. The letter they give is that report in Abuja for work. You didn't go to Abuja, you went to Port Harcourt. You now go to Port Harcourt, ask, Father, let Port Harcourt prosper me. Let it work for me. Let it work for me. But you are given a space in Abuja where God has prepared for you. But you are here in the wrong location. And the right thing to do is to go back. Go back to the place where God said you should go. That is restoration. Yeah, no, you are double down here. The children of Israel are doubling down in Egypt. Do you know the cry they are praying in Egypt? The Bible said they were groaning in Egypt. They are saying, God, please let this Pharaoh have mercy on us. Let Pharaoh have mercy on us. We are suffering too much. Ah, we are suffering too much. Let Pharaoh reduce his focus on us. Let him stop punishing us. Let him return us. Let him declare this policy null and void. Let us discuss with him. Should cancel this policy. We want to go back. We don't want to work in this labor camp again. That was their prayer. They never thought of leaving because they couldn't. They couldn't think like that. Their number was in millions, and they had no. They had lost. Four generations had stayed. So all the older people who could have helped them were dead. They now had a young population of those who knew only Egypt. So they didn't even know, many of them didn't even know anything about the promised land. If you talk to them about it, they don't know where it is. They don't know how to get there. They've lost focus on the instruction of God. They've forgotten all about it. So this has something to do with, oh, they are disobedient. Their fathers were disobedient. They came into it and they had established themselves in disobedience. Establishing yourself in disobedience means you enter into a wrong place, you put down roots, you buy a house, you buy a car, you call the place home, and yes, the place was not where God said you should go. That is, you have established yourself in the wrong location. Establish yourself in disobedience. The children of Israel were established in disobedience. However, God loves them, and God showed them how to come out by choosing for them a champion. When the champion got to Egypt, the champion did not say, Pharaoh, God said, stop making my people suffer. Review your policies. Give them minimum wage. This minimum wage is too small. Increase the minimum wage. Provide the infrastructure. Instead of them being in labor camps, employ them in the civil service. You know, Moses could have gone to negotiate a better term of work, a better working condition. Like Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King couldn't tell the American government because they tried it. America tried to gather the black people and bring them back to Africa. That was how you have a nation like Sierra Leone. Freetown, Sierra Leone. That's how you have a second nation, I've forgotten their name. But that was how we had such nations. They were trying to bring them back to Africa because it was a policy that they felt could work. But that policy didn't work. So then they decided, okay, we are then going to engage the government and review the terms of living here in America. You see, and so they went to negotiate the terms. They did desegregation. They did desegregation of the schools. Martin Luther King did his marches. They did their emotional and conscience triggering waves, and all the things they could do so that they could be established in the United States of America. Why they could get away with it was because they were never people of destiny. They were just people. Just people can live anywhere. When I say just, I mean righteous. I mean ordinary people. They can do anything. They can just wake up and say, I want to go and live in Ivory Coast. And they'll pack their bag and they will go. It's okay. They have no destiny to answer to. And wake up and say, oh, I want to go and live in Saudi Arabia. It's okay. They can wake up and go there. Ordinary people can do that. Why? Because in this world, we have ordinary people and then we have people of destiny. Christians are people of destiny. All of us are conscripted into the army of the Lord in such a way that everywhere we live, where we live, where we walk, is deliberate. God deliberately put us there because we are serving as saviors out of Zion, as ambassadors, and as citizens of heaven, trying to show the world the better life and the better advantages that we have in Christ. But those who are not born again can live anywhere. We are not the same as them. A lot of Christians also don't know this. Remember when David said that, I will not envy the wicked of their kings. I will never look at an unbeliever and say, they are rich. I will not envy them. The reason is because they have no destiny. They have no destiny. You have a destiny. And therefore, you have a purpose. It's like you look at Esau and Jacob and you realize how true this is. When the two of them started fighting from the womb, it was a fight for destiny because there was only one destiny. God didn't give the two of them two destinies. He gave them, there was one destiny and two children. So they were fighting for that destiny from the womb. They wanted to be the promised child, the child that would continue the path of righteousness, that would have the flag of God, that would be God's champion on the earth. That was the battle. From the womb, we are fighting because the battle of destiny is instinctive and definitive. It has something to do with money or car or houses. No, it has everything to do with purpose. You want purpose. You can't just live your life anyhow and die. You want a life where you say, okay, I'm living for God. I'm living a life of purpose. And so both of them were fighting from the womb, fighting. Jacob was doing everything to make sure that his purpose was relevant. Esau was not doing everything in that direction. Esau already had it. He was the first son. He was the loved son of the father. He already, by right, is going to be the son of destiny. But Jacob was like, no, I want to be the son of destiny. I will not just come and die and be forgotten. I want to leave a legacy that will last forever. I want my name written in the book of Yahweh. I want my name to be in the book of life. I want my name to answer to the call of destiny. When they are talking in 2,000 years' time, in 3,000 years' time, I want my name to be relevant. Jacob was fighting for relevance, for destiny. You know? At the end of the day, when their father would bless them, their father blessed Jacob. Jacob got destiny. But after he got destiny, If you look at his life and you compare it with Esau's life, you realize why you don't envy other people. Bible said Esau became so rich. He had a nation. Jacob became so poor. He was serving Laban, and Laban was ensuring that he couldn't have a penny to his name for 20 plus years. And yet, the one that's poor is the man of destiny. The one that has formed a nation called Edom was the man that has no destiny. So money does not define destiny. Money does not. Which is why, again, many people in this world today, our world is so materialistic that people have come to associate money with destiny. It is not the same. It's good. You can define a successful person. There are so successful people, but there are just a few people of destiny. If you are a person of destiny, it is not how rich you are that we use to quantify destiny. Destiny makes one wealthy. That's the truth. You are going to eventually become wealthy, but you'll be wealthy in the right place, not wealthy in the wrong place. People can be wealthy in the wrong place. I met a man once at Lagos Island Baptist Church. 8 year billionaire. I went there to minister as a young man maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And after the service, he came to me. He said, as I was watching you preach and minister to people, I was weeping. He said, when I was your age, God called me into ministry. Specifically, he said to me, these are the things I want you to do. And the things you are doing, Brother Gwenga, are the things God said I should do. I see it every day in my vision when I was young. I would see myself preaching, ministering, blessing people. I would see myself all over, ministering all over, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over. When I was young, that was all that I see. In my sleep, when I wake up, this is my destiny. God told me. A lot of prophecies confirmed it. But when I went to the university, I got the opportunity to work with an orphan. I took the opportunity and I made a lot of money. I said, I made a lot of money. And now, I'm 80. I'm rich. And I realized I have not lived a life of purpose. I'm wealthy. I have houses. I have children. I have cars. But my life, I know that I've failed my destiny. What do I do? So then I taught him the way of restoration. And he took it at 80. He's not dead. Yeah, he's not dead by the grace of God. If you see his ministry now, doing very well in his village, I told him, go back. Where were you when God called you? He said, this, okay, go back there. You are 80, but you are not dead. At 80, Moses became who he became. You are 80, you are not dead. You are talking to me, your eyes can see, your hands can move. You don't have any sickness. God has preserved you till now for a reason. So leave Lagos. You have already made your money in Lagos anyway. Go back to your village. Start a ministry there in Yoruba language because it was the Yoruba man. Start a ministry there. The things that God showed you, start doing them at 80. Ah, he said, yeah. I said, yes, you think it's too late? He said, I never thought. I said, destiny means going back to better. What do you mean you never thought? As long as you are alive, you can still answer the call of destiny. Nobody is too old to answer the call of destiny. I asked him, I said, if they ask you to come and come to governor now at 80. But then the man became governor of Lagos at 80. Would you not become governor? He said he would be. If they asked you to become president of Nigeria at 80, would you say you are not going to become president? He said, I will be. I said, so why are you saying you are too old? to answer the call of your destiny. Ah, he said, I never saw it that way. I said, ah, I see it that way all the time. Go back. 400 years was what it took the children of Israel to go back to destiny. 430 years. 430 years. It is never too late to go back, to retrace your steps to where God has called you to be. For some people, it will be easy to do. For some people, it may be difficult. Destiny is more important than any other thing in life. It means fitting to purpose. You know what it means? When you go to a tailor, and the tailor takes a piece of cloth, and the tailor measures you, and they say, what is this cloth for? And you say, oh, it's for my wedding. And says, okay, how do you want it cut? And you say, this is the style I want. And then cuts the cloth to fit you, to fit the occasion, so that on that your wedding day, you looked exactly how you ought to look. You looked like that on time. The tailor did not come late or did not give any delays. He made sure it was available on that day or before that day. You wore it. It was the perfect look you desire in your heart. That is what it means, fitting to purpose. Fitting to purpose. But this is what God has called me to do, which was why, I often tell you that I was a pastor once, and it wasn't fitting to purpose. It was a terrible season. And you are like, ah, but you are a pastor. People around me at the time would tell me, but you are a pastor, you're answering God's call already. I would say, no, this is not what God called me to do. Oh, why can't people understand? They'll say, no, a pastor is a teacher. I say, no. Ah, this one, the pastor is a teacher. No. Why do I feel out of sorts? Why do I not feel as if I feel like a round peg in a square hole? Why do I feel this way? Why don't I feel settled? Because when you answer the call of purpose, you are settled. You are working in a company, you are making money, you don't feel settled. There's always that thing. Always that thing. As if you don't belong. You have it instinctively, it's at the back of your mind. What am I doing here? You are in a country, some of us, maybe you are in America, Germany, whatever. You are in a country and you always feel out of place. Some people who move abroad like this, you will know. As soon as they get to that country, they will settle in. It would be to them like the tree of life. Immediately they settle in, they begin to bear fruit. No stress. There is joy. You will see the health. Their health will be restored. Like, I know someone that was so sick in Nigeria, so sick, that everybody thought she was going to die soon. And then she relocated to the US. My God, it was as if she got a new lease of life. She didn't go to the hospital in the US. She didn't go for treatment. She relocated to go and take care of her daughter's baby. She got to the US like this. It was as if the US was born for her and she was born for the US. Immediately, her health was restored. Everything about her came back to life. Everything about her began to glisten and shine. There was no more sickness. There was no more pain, no more headache. She was settled. Settled. All the sicknesses, all the heart condition, hypertension, high blood pressure, all those things disappeared completely. Disappeared. Just by going out of Nigeria. And there are some people, as soon as they go out of Nigeria like this, they will become restless. They can't sleep anymore. It will be as if the whole world is on their case. Because our purposes are defined by God and they are unique. It's not a bandwagon effect. It is a purpose that God has given you that this is what you will do. That is why the Bible says that anybody who compares himself with other people is a foolish person. Say, ah, oh God, look at what you did for my friend. They'll be making a huge mistake. I just need the feedback. You like the class, or sorry, you understand the class so far. You are getting the point of the class. Can I see your hand, please? I want to be sure you can hear me clearly. Okay, thank you. So you must know that when it comes to purpose and destiny, once God says this is your path, that is your path. If you veer away from it, you begin to have these uneasy feelings. Sometimes your body will respond badly. You become sickly. Sometimes you begin to make errors that naturally you wouldn't make. Sometimes you just have this thing. You'll be sleeping at night, you'll be waking up. It's not the enemy. You see, your destiny, your spirit is tied. Its consciousness is tied to the fulfillment of destiny. So the more you spend far away from purpose, the more uneasy you will become in your body. You will know, I don't, where I am, I don't belong there. I'm in the wrong place. You will know it. A lot of people would then go spiritual and they will say it is the enemy doing them. Somebody is this country, I was this thing. In fact, some people I know they want to talk about it, so I'll talk about it in a minute. Some people would go into the wrong marriage. So I know many people are waiting for me to mention that. And they will be in the marriage, they will have children there. And they know that this marriage is far away from purpose. Getting Coleman was in the same shoe. Like I mentioned, many ministers of God who are in the same shoe at one point for the other in their lives. Some of them are still alive now. That's why in a wrong marriage does not mean you cannot fulfill destiny. Destiny is not tied to marriage. Destiny is tied to individuals. Of course, if you are not married, you can easily make some decisions. But if you are married, you have to then work with the technical details of the marriage in order to navigate a pathway for your destiny. And you have to do it. You have to. And you will do it with wisdom, not with fighting or anything like that. You will say, oh, some of you may not remember, what's her name? Emeche Eta, the person that wrote Second Class Citizen. She's a writer, a Nigerian writer, a Nigerian author, Buchi Emeche Eta. Buchi was born to write. Born to write. It's what she does, like me. If I don't write, everybody would know. I do not just sit up to write. I'll be sleeping. Sometimes I'll be sleeping. I'm not kidding. 2 a.m. The Holy Spirit will wake me up. Right. I will get up, I'll write. I'll sit up at my laptop. Once I put it on, I'll begin to write. I will write and write. And when the inspiration lifts, I'll be done. I don't write to continue tomorrow. I finish everything it will tell me about a particular issue. I'll finish it in one writing. And then when I post it, maybe around 4 or 5, I'll sleep again. He's been doing that to me since 2017 or 2016. No, 2014. I've been writing since I was for years. Then I stopped. Then I continued in 2014. So Bridget was born like that. Just like some of us are singers. You'll be sleeping and those which wake you up with music, with songs, with new music, new inspiration. You say, I received a song. It will just come to you. You didn't. It is just how the Holy Spirit inspired, breathes his life to you. And so that was how preaching was. But the husband was determined that she was going to be a traditional wife. Just be in the house, take care of me, have children. I don't want anything about all this ambition. I don't want a wife that will work. The husband has some money. I don't want a wife that will work. He has his own idea of how marriage should be. And in that marriage, he didn't believe that his wife should have a voice of her own, an expression of her own, a life of her own. He wanted a wife that just a traditional, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then live for him. That was the practice in those days, in the 70s, 60s, 70s. For some, not for everybody. I talked about it this morning. So men, they just don't understand. Everybody has a destiny. You do not have the right to sit on somebody else's destiny in the name of marriage. That is not what it means to control your own home. You see how the mother of Jesus, how Joseph supported Mary to fulfill her destiny. Some men cannot take it. They won't. It's very terrible for men to be like that. I cannot imagine being a woman and being married to you, because I will not accept it. It's the truth. I will not accept it. If you know, if I'm not at ease, everything about me will not be at ease. I want to be at ease. Therefore, I'll be thinking, what load can I shed? What load? You know, when they talked about Jonah and they were on a ship, they said there was a storm and they began to think of shedding loads. That means, what are the things that I have collected that I need to throw away? I threw away my pastor title, my deacon title, everything. When I said, I don't want. I'm not at ease. I have a destiny to fulfill. I'm not fulfilling my destiny. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I don't want. People are like, no, you have your diploma. I don't want the diploma. I don't want it. I want to go back to brother. What? Why did I go back to brother? Brother Benga, why did I go back? It wasn't humility. One man, one great man of God met me in Abuja and said, I love your humility. The fact that you remained a brother, I said, this is, it's not humility, sir. Sir, it's not humility. People can, I know myself, it's not humility. It's that the titles were killing me. They were choking me. They were not allowing me to be me. I said, I didn't want them. I threw them away. I said, I don't want. I had to shed the weight. I don't want all these things. I want to be able to fulfill my destiny, and I want to fulfill the destiny without any load. The things I've said there, some of you understand so far. You understand the things I've said but didn't say, by telling you, you shed weight. You know how to fulfill destiny. There's no price that is too difficult or too hard to pay. Which wrote her first book. Her husband discovered the manuscript, complete manuscript, in London. She started writing in Nigeria. Then the other invited her. She went to meet him in London. They were both living in London. She finished her book, finished the whole book. In those days, she has to write in secret because of her husband. She was writing in secret. She was typing. She was writing. She was typing. In those days, there are no computers. You cannot keep it on a file. You have to do everything manually. And the husband discovered the manuscript of her book. And the husband burnt it. Burnt everything. That it will not be in my house that I will have a wife that is writing all this right tag. The husband burnt everything. She cried and cried and cried. Because this is her. This is how she was wired. You can never stop her from writing. There are somebody trying to stop her from teaching. Somebody has tried in the past. It will never work. You can never stop me. This is my life. This is my destiny. This is what I was born to do. Who are you? You are a wayfarer that I met on my journey. That is the truth. That the culture of the church said, oh, you should come together, does not mean you will subjugate my destiny in order to fulfill your whims and caprices. That is not marriage. That can never be it. It is supposed to be two becoming one, a process of assimilation. But the assimilation has to be symbiotic. It means the two of us, we have to bring out our best hand to help each other. And when I notice that the job we want to do here is that one will pull down the other, one will pull down the other, I'm going to say, hey, no, we don't have to be at war. You can pursue your destiny, yeah? I can pursue my destiny, but we'll both be together. It's either we do it together, it will be faster, or I navigate my destiny while I'm with you. But I would not allow my destiny to die because I'm with you. When you read Puchemetuta's second book, the first book was burnt, she couldn't recover it. So she wrote a second book titled Second Class Citizen. It was the story of what happened to her in the first book. That was the book that Buchi wrote that gave her international recognition because people realized the pain she went through as an artist, as a writer, to suffer that much emotional violence and survive. So again, that it is not an excuse to say it's because of my marriage. That's why my destiny died. I'm telling you, if you are here, you are listening to me, and that is what you are saying, you are wrong. You are very wrong. You can feel destiny in that marriage. It will just take a bit of, let's sit down, let's talk. This is what. What are your conditions? What am I? Okay. How do you work it out that will not affect this? As long as you carry your weight. Oh, you have children that will go to school, okay, I'll take them. Now who will prepare the children? No, I'll prepare them. What about food? It will not suffer. What about this? It will not suffer. Okay. Hey, what about this? Okay. I will pay for the housemaid. You don't have to pay. I will get somebody to come into the house and help. And I will pay the person out of my pocket, so that it will give me room to fulfill destiny. You cannot insist that somebody that is married to you should by force help you fulfill destiny. That is not right. Zipporah did not help Moses with his destiny. It was a difficult marriage for Moses. Go and read your Bible. It was a difficult marriage for Moses. Moses fulfilled destiny. He fulfilled it to a T. In fact, when he disobeyed God and died of anger, God took him up to heaven. God didn't let him go to Sheol. God took him to heaven. He said, yeah, come. I'm bringing you to heaven. Why? Because you have fulfilled destiny to a T. You are fitted for the work. You did the work. You may make some mistake, but God is gracious. God said, Some people did not even follow destiny at all. You follow destiny to this point? No. You deserve a place by my side. So don't say my bad marriage is the reason, or my marriage, maybe even be a good marriage, is the reason I am not feeling the same. Don't say that. These are excuses that are not tenable to God. You cannot tell God that. I have a friend that was called to ministry in 2006. He was my convert when I was in the university. And then he was called to the ministry and he got a job offer with one of the big banks. And he couldn't resist it. He couldn't. The money was too good. When he left, he went for the job. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, we met. He was working at the airport. Not a very dignifying job. When I saw him, it's like, ah, I called his name. He saw me, he hugged me. In fact, he told them at the customs, I met him during COVID. So I'm supposed to fill this COVID form and all that. He told them, ah, it's my brother, it's my brother. Please, I know him. Please give him his document. He gripped in my hand. I asked him, what are you doing here? And the last I heard of you are with this bank. What happened? Ah, he said I got jailed. Ah, I was I didn't go to prison, but I was jailed for a long time because of some transactions. God has delivered me. EFCC said they should terminate my work and let me go, but they didn't put me in prison. But I was in jail for a long time. So now I'm just doing this to. I said, you are still in disobedience. Even here, doing this lowly job in this airport, trouble is still coming for you. Ah, is that what I'm doing? I said, I'm telling you before God, I don't need to be a prophet to tell you to your face. Here in this airport, with this thing you are pushing, this trolley that you are pushing, collecting 1,005, when trouble will come, it will be calamity upon calamity. He said, ah, but I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Do you want to hear me again? He said, what? What did God tell you to do when we were in school? He said, wow. I said, if you stay here, you are still in the wrong place. It still won't work. If you leave here, go to California, it still won't work. You see, you are fitted to destiny. When destiny calls, those to whom it is fitted must answer. They must answer. They must answer. That must be an answer. You have been destined for a purpose. That purpose will not go unfulfilled. For the destiny that you got is God's word. The Bible says the word of God will not go void, will not be empty. It will fulfill the purpose. You see now, because God spoke a destiny over you, that's why it's called the word. It is written in the volume of the books. Written. That is the word of God. Written. Therefore, because it is written, and it will not come back empty, and you have been coded into it, you have no option. It is how you follow that destiny and you fulfill it, or you just find yourself on the wrong side of everything. It's just as if you don't know how to do anything. Everything will just say, ah, this is bad luck. This is ill luck. This guy is not lucky. This guy has misfortune. Ah, this guy's head does not collect good. They'll be saying all sorts of things like that about you. Why? Because you'll just be on the wrong side of everything until you get to your land of promise. You understand me so far? You are not angry with me. I speak the truth. I speak it this way. I speak it this way, not because I'm mean, but because it is what it is. But you understand the class so far, regardless of your feelings. Can I see your hand? You get the class because we're so close. I want to be sure you got it. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the feedback. So you go back. Doesn't matter your age. In fact, if you are destined to sing, if God has called you to be a singer, and now you are so old you cannot sing anymore. But songs are still coming. Compose the song for the coming generation. Find somebody. Call Sister Brother Buffett, Minister Homer, Sister Nina. Call them. Say, I have a song. And then give them the wordings. Say, please, God is giving me a song. Just I'll give it to you. You can edit it. You can Gen Z it. You can Gen Alpha it. You can Gen X it. You can add to it, you can subtract from it, but this is the song. Just give it to them. Begin to answer the call of your destiny. There is no rest for any man or woman that is called into destiny who is walking outside of destiny. You will just be feeling perpetually out of sorts, as if you don't belong in your own body. I know because I walked through it. Everything, no matter, I'm saying it to you, but you know, there are some things. Things that normally you should smile and be relaxed about. You just notice that you are snapping at everybody People will wonder what is wrong with you. You will be perpetually angry. You have never met somebody that's angry all the time. Ah. When I see people that are out of sorts with destiny, I know. Say, ah, people will say that person is here, but he's always snapping at everybody, always angry. He's never settled. He's in the wrong place. It's like when you are wearing size 40 shoe and your leg is 43. You know, you are wearing shoe, but it will be paining you. That pain will not allow you to have rest. You'll be like, because you cannot be settled outside of destiny. Destiny is a call that you must fit into. Go back. Jacob went back to Bethel. Go back. Israel went back to the promised land. They had to fulfill destiny. Go back. Kedrin Kumar went back to our ministry after 4 years of marriage. Go back. I can name thousands. I've read books on many people when they miss out on destiny. The only way forward is to go back. There will be no joy until you go back. When you get back to Bethel, you will now say, okay, I'm back. And then the instruction will begin to flow as if you never missed your way. You don't even need to ask for forgiveness. That's the funniest thing. When you get back to that place, you just notice that things just begin to happen. It's because the word of God is ever faithful. You don't need to fast, you don't need to pray, you don't need to say, Father, forgive me. Because people are asking for forgiveness in the wrong location. I always look at them. You know you are in the wrong location. Somebody knows. Somebody knows she's in the, or somebody knows she's in the wrong location. And person will say, Father, forgive me. I know that I've missed it. Just have mercy on me. It's mercy I'm asking for. Africans can be so impractical. You are in the wrong place. You're asking for mercy. Did you not see the prodigal son? What happened? He went back. See, the cure for missing destiny is to go back to destiny. It's as simple as that. That is restoration. Restoration means to go back. You will go back. You will retrace your step. You will go back. All the people you've hurt along the way, you will say sorry to them. See, the reason I hurt you is because I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You will notice you make your peace with everybody that you have interacted with, that you have hurt. You do, but you go back. You have to. That is how destiny works. It's time to give our offering. I know the cast is a bit simple, but you get it. I wanted it to be that way. I can give you 10, 20 examples. I can give you so many, but you have to go back. The offering we are giving today is as instructed by God to give. We take care of the poor. That's what we do. Every 3 months, whenever I have these open sessions, I make sure that I come with the word of God for his people and for those who would hear from all over. And that when they come and we pray together and we share the word of God, we obey God to a T. So give according to the leading of the Spirit. The money will be used to take care of the needy. It's not for the ministry, it's not for any of our projects, it's not for me, it's not for, by the grace of God. We are all also giving. It's important. Ah, thank you, Father. Please be in class tonight, because tonight we are going to talk about the spiritual aspect of this class. I deliberately made this one very mundane and material, so you understand there's a spiritual aspect to recovery. You can also take the scriptures for those examples I've given and how they recovered. There's a spiritual aspect to it. But it has nothing to do with deliverance and all those shenanigans, all those lies. Christianity is a practical journey. As we take our step in Him, we become fulfilled in Him. I'm praying for you by the power of the Holy Spirit that your hands will be lifted, your eyes will be open. You will fulfill destiny. You will fulfill destiny and you will fit into purpose. It will never be too late for you to discover and to do what is right. You will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and you will achieve everything that is written of you in the name of Jesus. I declare it. You will never be poor.
Continually, the Lord shall bless and water you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.